I direct your attention to the book of James, chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 2, which we've already covered, but in order to give proper context to verse 12, of which we will be speaking of today. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown at and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and I pray for our understanding. Verse 12, once again, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Hope. Hope. It's a small word in our English language. It is a small word, however, that has tremendous meaning and tremendous impact on our lives. Hope. Hope. It means to cherish, a desire with anticipation. Hope. To desire with the expectation of obtaining. To expect with confidence. Hope. If we have it, then we have purpose. We have direction. We have an intent about our lives. Hope. If we don't have it, if we have no hope, or our hope has failed, then we can easily lose our way and lose our very selves. Verse 12 is hope. This is what the pastor, James, is doing for his people. Remember, they are in great persecution. They have been run out of their homes. They are living in foreign villages and towns around the countryside. And so Pastor James has written this letter, and he is giving them hope. He is calling on them to look past the everyday trial and look onward, past that temporary moment. And he's calling on them to remember who they are and whose they are. And in this hope, he's calling on them to not allow the struggle that they find themselves in to define them, or allow them to see this struggle as a thing that controls them. Hope. Hope. It's something bigger than we are, something greater than we are, something that we see ahead of us that gives us that purpose, that intention, that movement to be able to look past. How does James do this? What is James asking these people to do, which would allow them to remember the hope that they have? Well, he uses that word, persevere. It means to endure. He said, blessed is the one who perseveres. Blessed is the one who endures. We are to endure. We are to persevere. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, does it? Some of you, where you find yourself right now, in the struggle and the trial and the heartache, Pastor Tim is reading this passage that's calling on you to persevere, to endure. And in the Greek language, this word persevere, endure, it means to stand up under the weight and to hold on. To endure holding that which is in your hands, which is before you. And as I said, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun sometimes. And where you are in your struggle and your trial and your hardship, it's not a whole lot of fun. But hope is there. Hope is there. And notice the hope that James gives his people. He does it in two ways. First, he said, blessed is the one. This is a beatitude. Just like you would see in Matthew. Just like the beatitudes you see in the book of Revelation. Here James brings in this piece of wisdom from his wisdom literature, from his writing, from this wise pastor. He said, blessed is the one. Blessed are they. Simply, who they are and whose they are brings a blessedness. Simply by being a child of God, you are blessed. Blessed. It means having a secured nature. Having a connection with God. And that connection in His sovereignty brings you a security. Blessed are you in your hardship. Blessed means bringing pleasure, contentment. I almost didn't use that word pleasure. Because a hardship cannot be pleasurable at all. But when we move outside the hardship and move into the sovereignty of God and knowing the joy, remember, joy doesn't mean happiness. Joy means security in the arms of the sovereign one who has ordained all things. Yes, even this hardship. Contentment. Paul says, I am content in all things, whether rich or poor, high or low, good or bad, my paraphrase, I'm content. Blessedness. James is specifically saying that the one who perseveres, who endures, will have a special, is in the possession of a special connection with God. And in the end, we'll have that pleasure, that contentment, that place. But how? How does this work? Does blessedness come through the process of enduring? Does blessedness come through the enduring itself? I would have to say yes. Because of the experience. How many of us have had hardships, we've endured those hardships, and we've realized after the fact that it was God who carried me through every single step of that? It was not me. It was God showing me that I am indeed blessed. And so I learned from experience that God's word is true. That blessedness, this connection with God, is a reality in my life. I struggle, I have hardships, but I've made it through. And when that next wave comes, oh, God is the same. And so He will be here again. And so the blessedness, the hope, actually comes to fruition during the hardship. And in future trials, you look back and say, well, God saw me through that. Some of us, me included, some of us now have a very bold position that if God could see me through that, then whatever comes, I don't worry. Because I've seen God take me, us, some of you through the most difficult of times. And He will be there again. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. But I ask, is James speaking of the simple blessedness of that present time? Is the blessing only in that present time? Is that hope only to be seen in God answering the prayer in this present time? Absolutely not. And here is where the greatest level of hope and strength comes in. Please note carefully the hope James is placing before those who read this letter, and the hope he also places before you. Verse 12 again, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the man who in present time is persevering under the trial. Then we move, because when he has stood the test, he will receive, he's moving into the future, will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him. So there is the present time blessing and the hope that that has. But the greatest hope that James is holding before his people and that he holds before you, those of you who are in hardship, is that crown of life that you will receive when you've stood this test because you love him. The crown of life. The crown of life promised by the Lord given to those who love him. Promise. You know, a promise is no good if given by someone who can't deliver. I mean, seriously, I could promise you, Julie, $1 million. But you know good and well that ain't going to happen. The promise is only as good as the one making the promise. But here is the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, through the Pastor James, making you a promise. And he has every capacity in the world to fulfill that promise. I believe this promise will be good. The crown of life. What is James speaking of here? Well, if we just get physical here for a bit, a crown is worn by those of royalty. A crown is worn by those of royalty who live in a kingdom under a king or the king himself. Well, the king position's already taken, so we're not after that one. Jesus spoke of the very same thing. He said, in Matthew, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Do you believe that? That the kingdom has been prepared for you? It's yours. In Luke, Jesus says to his disciples, you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and get this, and sit on thrones. Not only will you get the crown, but you get a throne that accompanies the crown. Royalty. Jesus and James are speaking of heaven, eternal life. The life we have, the existence we have that awaits us, from this, after this earthly place. Paul teaches the same thing to those who by persistence in doing good to seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Paul writes to the young Timothy in his last letter, as he lay there knowing his days were numbered, he writes to the young Timothy, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Peter writes, rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. See, there's hope. There's hope. Peter here is telling us to rejoice in our sufferings. I think James said the same thing a bit earlier. Rejoice in your sufferings. And it goes on. In the book of Revelation, I love going to the book of Revelation. Such beautiful language. John is writing there as well. Or John is writing there, and his purpose was to give hope to those who would hear his letter. He writes, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution. Be faithful." Now listen closely here. "Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." He also writes, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne." Folks, that is all what is awaiting us. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, a victor's crown. This is eternal life. This is life, existence outside this place. I love the Holy Spirit's timing. I wrote this sermon on Monday. Miraculously, in about 20 minutes. I can't say it never happens. On Friday, during Sandy's service, Dr. Earle mentioned this very same thing. He mentioned the glory that Sandy perceived as her faith was turned into light, into sight. And we speak of a crown of glory, the crown of life, by faith. Well, she has hers. It's a reality. Did she struggle? Did she persevere? Yes. Your loved ones, as they, the body, gave in to illness, struggle and persevere? Yes. It didn't fall away. And see, this is what James is calling on his people of the church to do. Understand, these people who are persecuting you, they may take you to the point of death. And we know from church history that death was not just to the point of, it was the physical thing. How many martyrs are there in Christian history? You know, there's more martyrs for Christianity in the 20th century than there was in all of the 19 previous. Dying for Christ. Gaining that crown of life. Gaining that crown of righteousness. What we have here in this earth is a pittance to what we have awaiting us. Matthew Henry writes, "The tried Christian shall be a crowned one. The crown of life is promised to all who have the love of God reigning in their hearts. Every soul that truly loves God shall have his trials in this world fully compensated in that world above, where love is made perfect." Yes, we have our struggles. Yes, we have our trials. Yes, we have our pain. Yes, we think we're taken right to that place that we can't handle the next thing. And God is there. The next trial, the next struggle pushes us, takes us further to the place where we think we can't go any further. And God is there. That is the hope that's before all of us. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given me, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Never forget that. He also said, "I've told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, Jesus has already handled all this stuff. He has already handled all this stuff. I know it's hard, but hold on. Go with me to Revelation 21. This brings into play the message last Sunday of being rich. Being rich in Christ Jesus. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. The same message John writes here is the one James wrote to his people. He who overcomes, she who overcomes, will inherit all of this. Pastor James wrote to his congregation, I'm preaching to mine the same message. I pray that your hope will be encouraged, inflamed, to the point that you know that whatever life brings to you, the hope of the crown of life is yours. Amen.